Let's open up with prayer. Father, we thank you for every person here under the sound of my voice, those who are in the building, those who are watching my live stream. Lord, I just thank you that we are blessed. We are so blessed by your presence today. And I thank you that your blessing doesn't stop just by an experience, but out of relationship, we thank you for covenant benefits. I thank you for your goodness. Your goodness that is so amazing that we can't even define it and describe it. We only try to understand it, but you are so good that there is none good but you. We thank you for your goodness. And Father God, I ask that this coming week that you would embarrass your people today that are under the sound of my voice. Embarrass them with your goodness in a way that the people come up and say, wow, what is going on in their lives? And touch them, Father God. We speak liberty and freedom in every area of their life, in their health, in their finances, in their mind, in their emotions. We speak freedom and liberty. For whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Now, Father God, I thank you for your goodness. We honor you today. We worship you. Jesus, we decree, declare that you are Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We've been working on this series on no fear. So no fear. A tactic of the enemy against people, against everybody at one phase or another is to try to bring fear. Fear is a weapon of the enemy's choice. Fear and offense, I think, are the two things the enemy attacks people the most in life. Fear is a tactic because it's not just to make you afraid so that you maybe cry a little bit, but it's to hinder you or try to keep you from pursuing what God has for you. We talked a little bit last week that the blessings of the covenant that God has for you were purchased before you. Before God starts, he completes. Before God begins anything, he's finished it. He works on the outside of what we call in the context of time, the texture of time. He sees the Bible says he sees the end as equally as he does the beginning. So before he begins, he finished. Jesus came in the fullness of time. He was sacrificed before what we think conceptually. But so before Adam was created, the Father knew that Jesus would be sent. Before he started with Abraham having a child, he already knew him as a father of a multitude. Before Gideon ever fought a battle, he knew he was a great, mighty man of war. So before the people who received it knew it, God had already started it and completed it. Amen. Because therefore we understand the context of Scripture when it tells us that you are complete in him. Right. So your completion is not the end of your journey. Your completion is found in Christ. Right. So when I begin to look at the reflection of the Word according to James and do it, that I can see who I am before I can show who I am. Let me say it again. When we begin to look at the context of the Word of God and the promises of the New Testament, we begin to see who we are before we can show people who we are. Right. Only in the Bible will it say stuff that our natural mind doesn't make sense. But in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed before you knew you were sick. Yeah. Stay with me. I think we're going a little deeper today. You were the blessed of the Lord before you had a dime. Because he's your Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. In fact, if you break that verse down deeper, it actually means the God who saw your need before you knew there was a need and backs up in the context of what we call time and made provision for the need. So before you have... Let's break it down where you understand. So before you wrote a check to a bill you didn't know was coming, he already made the deposit. And that deposit is called a son. It's in covenant. And God doesn't ask you to lay away plan his blessings, his healing, his peace, his joy. I want to get that into our hearts so we begin to understand that the thief, Jesus really meant it when he said, John 10:10, that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Thieves don't try to give you something you don't want. They try to take something that you already have, even if you're not aware of its value. In fact, one of the things thieves will do in a bartering system is they'll try to undervalue what you have to see if you know what it's worth. So what do you want for that car? What do you want for that watch? What do you want for that book? and they'll see it as a priceless item that they can get rich from, but they tell you it's of no value. Well, I'll take that off your hands for maybe. You're going to do me a favor and take off my hands what really brings more value than I'm not even aware of. And then they'll brag. Oh, I got it. Woo, I did so good. The enemy tries to steal what you have, even if you're not aware of its value. And so in the covenant, we begin to see the description of all that God has. And it's not something that you're trying to pay on like a layaway plan. It's something that rightfully belongs to you. Yes. And one of the ways the enemy tries to steal it from you is to keep you from it by telling you there's no value. Oh, you don't need to do that. Don't go to church. You don't need to listen to that. Don't read the Bible. I know the Bible says, but you know, that was written so many years ago. Because in the Word of God, we find the process to receive what God has for it. Yeah. Listen to me. You don't receive from God because you cried.
Come on.
You don't receive from God because you really, 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 really need it. What does the Bible say?
Right.
You receive from God, Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11:30 through 33, through faith and patience.
Amen.
So it already belongs to you. Say with me, it already belongs to me. And this verse has been our key verse, and I challenge you to read it every day or post it in different places. So over the process of any series, we'll always have a key verse that we'll keep launching from. But if you keep that in front of you for 3 or 4 weeks, you know what's going to happen? That verse is going to be built into you like a brick in a wall. And the next time the devil shows up, you won't be looking for your notes. You won't be looking for that verse. It will come out of you. And all of a sudden, you'll say out of your own mouth, uh-uh, devil, God has not given me. Oh, let's just read it. It's just over. On the same page. 2 Timothy 1:7 says what? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Say, God has not given me. Now, we've talked about if God didn't give you fear, you know what that tells me? When you face fear, you have a right to resist fear.
Amen.
This is not from God. If it's not from God, it must be from the enemy. And it's from the enemy, we have authority over the enemy.
Right. That's right.
Because then whatever I resist, resist him and he will flee. Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, 18. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Say, I resist fear.
I resist fear.
Say, fear,
fear.
You got to go.
Got to go.
Get to stepping. The word fear there is literally not only fear as you're afraid, but timidity, where we also get the word intimidation. The devil will try to intimidate you to stay in a place that once was where you should be, but now is no longer to be called your home. When Israel came out of Egypt, the first night was the place they should be. And they could celebrate what God had done. But the next night, the next month, it was no longer the place to be.
Yeah.
Because it's a walk of faith. It's a growing phase. We walk in the Spirit. God wants you to keep growing. What was acceptable at one phase is no longer acceptable at another phase. We got to keep growing in the things of God. Can I get an amen? It might have been okay for you to have to stay up a few hours speaking the word before you got victory. But as you keep growing in the things of God, you don't need to get to where you have to spend 2 hours speaking the word.
Right.
Might be only 1 hour.
Right.
You keep growing in things of God, and maybe it won't be 1 hour, maybe just 30 minutes. You'll get to the place like the centurion soldier knew Jesus was, and he didn't even say, you have to talk and pray for 30 minutes. You didn't have. He just said, speak the word. You get down to just one word. Just one word, it changes everything. Some of us will have to fast 7 days and pray in tongues 12 hours a day and just to get the faith level built up to stay in our position. But you can get to a place growing, and I'm not against fasting. We need to have that part as our walk with God. We need to be praying. We need to be in the Word. But you can grow in the things of God that all of a sudden you just speak one word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I believe that there's times that even in Jesus' life, he showed up and he didn't have to say anything. And demon-possessed people, demons start screaming and saying, have you come before the time to torment us? We know who you are. I like to call it the look. Come on, somebody. We've all had a parent that gave us the look. Did your parent give you a look? You know, they all have a look. Nobody else maybe knew that look. Some did. I had parents. I could be in the other part of the room, but all of a sudden I feel it. Where's my dad at? I know I'm doing wrong, but I didn't know he was here. I can feel him. Across the room. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Can you imagine? You get to a level of faith, all of a sudden the devil starts messing with you. You just start. Hallelujah. Okay, we're moving right along. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. How do we break this down practically so we can walk out this process and begin to experience what God says rightfully belongs to you by covenant, so that you can not only have what legally is yours, but literally is yours, and you begin to walk in a place of peace of mind?
Amen. All right.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. If it didn't come from God, then you have a right to resist it. Number two, God gives you power to resist it. Power is not a what, power is a who. It's the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The presence of God. One of the best things you can do is you start feeling, okay, something not right. Get in God's presence.
Yes.
Prayer, the word, worship, get in God's presence.
Amen.
In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. We have to get in his presence.
Amen.
Some people have lost the understanding of the presence of God in your life. One moment in the presence of God will do you more good than 10 hours of counseling by the best counselor.
Amen.
And I'm not against counseling. I'm not against getting advice, but I'm telling you, get in the presence of God. God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and a love. Wow, there's an order there. The love of God. Because perfect love casts out fear. And a sound mind. Say sound mind. That word is an interesting word in itself. And different translations will say it differently. You think of sound mind. Some translations will defer to the word discipline. Discipline, I don't think, is good enough. It's actually two words brought together in the original text. And you can actually say it this way. The word sound mind, if you bring the two Greek words together, it's only used here. Sound mind, to be delivered, rescued, and brought into a place of safety. To be delivered, rescued, and brought into a place of safety. It's talking about the faculties of your thoughts. Your mind, to be delivered. Because we've all been in situations when pressure builds, panic tends to show up. Have you ever get panicky? And when you begin to panic, you make wrong decisions.
Right.
One of my personal challenges is that, and knowing your strengths and weaknesses is always important, they tell us, but one of my personal challenges is I am horrible with directions. Never tell me directions and say, go west. West means nothing to me. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you have no idea. I grew up under a father that could point to west at any moment of the day. And we would drive down the road and he would say, son, where's west? I don't know. Where's Kansas City? I don't care. He grew up something, whatever, that caused him to have this innate within him ability. And some of you know what I mean? You just sense where west is. To me, north is up, south is down, east. And to this day, I still do that. Some people might think I'm Catholic. I'm just trying to figure out where west is. It's always left, regardless of where I'm focusing on. And so for me, an obvious panic situation is when I got my license and they literally let me drive a car by myself. help us all, Jesus. And if I was in a neighborhood or wherever, sometimes even simplest places, I would get lost. And so I finally come to the conclusion that the best way to get out of any problem was always go left. You think that's a dumb idea. Well, when you're lost, you might as well do another dumb thing, because it's not going to, it can't make it any worse. At least I had a plan, right? At least I have a plan. It's a bad plan, but it was a plan. Come to a stop. Don't know which way to go. Well, what if it's the wrong way? I'd eventually come back around. You make enough lefts, you're just going to eventually figure it out. You're 2 hours late. I left early. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But I always noticed that the more I would get lost, the faster I would drive, and the worse my decisions became. Now, don't laugh at me. Some of you are just like that. And some of you, you know, when pressure comes, you make some bad decisions. And you look back later and say, what was I thinking? Come on. God has not given you the spirit of timidity or panic or fear, but of sound mind. Sound mind. A mind that has been delivered, rescued, and brought into a place of safety. Can you imagine? You say, how could that be? Because the Bible tells us that you have the mind of Christ. That just doesn't mean the mind of Jesus, because Christ is not Jesus' last name. Most Christians don't realize that. When we say Jesus Christ, that's really better said Jesus the Christ, which means Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus the Anointed One, or you can say better, Jesus the Anointed One and His anointing. And so we find that Jesus was the Messiah, the Anointed One. And the anointing in the Old Testament says that the burden is removed, the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing is the power and the presence of God. It's the ability of God. So the anointing, and we find that out of Isaiah and also in the gospel when Jesus is quoting Isaiah, when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to, in Greg Bruce translation, to do something, to declare, to proclaim, to set at liberty, to heal. Please challenge everything I say with the word of God, because at the end of the day, it's you knowing God's word that makes a difference, not my words. And so the anointing is also not only the presence of God, the anointing is not only the power of God, it's the ability of God. And so what am I telling you? You have the ability to have this thing called the helmet of salvation that protects your thought life, keeping it delivered, rescued, and sound protected. Yeah. Because of something that's beyond, listen to me, something that's beyond you. Right. Because the tactic of the devil is to tell you it'll never work for you, because we all know you. You know you. That's what the devil says. We know. That's maybe for them, but we know that you panic. We know that you kind of freak out. We know that you get forgetful. We know, and the devil will remind you of who you are in the natural. Yeah. But God says, I want to remind you who you are in me. Amen. And in me, you have the mind of the Anointed One and His anointing, which means that all of a sudden your thought life, your process of making decisions, your focus in the process of panic changes. Yeah. And you might not feel it, but you sometimes have to call upon it. Lord, I just thank you that I put on the helmet of salvation, that I have the mind of Christ. Mind, line up with the word of God today, right now. You are not going to panic. You are not going to fall apart. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. It might not mean much to you, but all of a sudden, if you don't have a sound mind and you make decisions, you just sign something away. You just sold or bought something. What was I thinking? Nobody loves the consequences of a, what was I thinking? Right. And the truth is, no matter how smart you are or how good you are in life, you're going to find yourself in positions that's beyond you. Because I truly believe that God wants you to live beyond your best, so that you live on a daily reality that without Him, you are nothing. Right. your best might be, I'm holding down a job. God says, I want your best to be that you own a couple businesses. That don't make sense, God, because God wants to do way beyond your way beyond. Amen. Abraham has settled for, I'm going to be a childless father, even though I've been called a father of a nation. And God said, I'm not only going to make you a father, I'm not only going to make you a father of a nations, but Abraham literally means the father of many nations. I'm going to do something that's so beyond what you thought was impossible for you.
Amen.
Say, sound mind. You don't get to the level of destiny without a sound mind. Because instability, James says that let no person think they can receive anything from God. If their mind it keeps changing opinions, God's going to do it. God will never do it. I'm going to be there. I'll never get there. We need the work of the Holy Spirit, the power, the word of God in our thought life to begin to change the way we look. Because God will begin to give you ideas and you're thinking, why am I trying for that job? I don't think I'm qualified to apply for that job. That's what the devil says. God said, I want you to apply for that job.
Right.
Oh, please pray that I survive. No, we don't pray for survival. That's not in the Word of God. We pray for flourishing.
Amen.
For those who are planted in the house of God will flourish in the courts of their God.
Yeah.
So how do we get this? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And this is not the only verse. And if you have the notes on the app, you can definitely look and see a list at the bottom of those of our notes there with a lot of more verses. But we don't have time for all these verses, so we're going to focus on a few. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 is our key verse on this. Let's start at verse 7. Be careful. Verse 7, let's back up. And the peace of God. The peace of who?
God.
And the peace of God, which passeth all your... See, I like to say, he's going to blow my mind with his peace. And the peace of God which passeth or exceeds your understanding shall what? Keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I like that word keep there because it also in the original text denotes a military context. It denotes soldiers guarding. He will keep, he will guard your heart and your mind. Guard like a garrison of soldiers. Guard like an army of soldiers standing at attention.
Right.
Guard your heart. Guard your mind through Christ Jesus. I want that Jesus. Say, I want that Jesus. Let's back up a verse. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now look, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep and guard as a garrison of soldiers your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. What is he saying here? One key element is just not to pray, but when you pray, because Jesus said you have not because you ask not. But after and while you are praying, begin to give God thanks for who he is. Begin to give God, spend time giving God thanks that he is. He's not having to go find the answer to your problem. He is the answer to your problem. See, that's a tactic of the religious world to make you think that God created that problem. Well, if God created it, then why would he be the solution? He would be in conflict with himself. And Jesus already told people the one day when they thought that he was casting out a devil by the power of the devil. He said, let me make it clear that any house divided against itself will not stand. God is not going to work on both sides of the extreme. He doesn't give you sickness and then take sickness away. That would be in conflict. That would be in fighting against himself. And any house divided like that cannot stand. In fact, look up that verse and you'll find the whole context that when he delivered that person, he said, whom the devil has tormented with sickness all these years. So God's not the one giving you the problem and then trying to be the solver of the problem. He is the solution. Say he is the solution. See, if you think God's the problem, you'll run from God because the closer you get to God, the mindset and what religion will tell you, the closer you get to God, the more he takes from you.
Right.
And that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said in John 10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, abundantly, abundantly. And that's just not quantity, that's also quality, but it includes quantity. The world does not like this. They'll preach against it. They'll talk about it. And yet behind the scenes. See, I don't mind people disagreeing with me. Because one thing I know, I'm learning, you're learning, let's all grow together. The one thing I have personal issues with is when people preach against something and behind the scenes live something different. So don't write a book about God doesn't bless you and you just made $1 million off the book that says God doesn't bless you. Do you see my point? Oh, but we gave a few books away. Of course you gave a few books away. So what? It's ridiculous. There's too many con people in the world. We need to just stick to the Word of God and be real. With thanksgiving, we give God thanks for who He is. We give God thanks because He has already, it belongs to you already. Even the prodigal son knew that there was an inheritance available to him. He mishandled it, but he repented later. That's why I love that song. This is who you are. What would happen if you begin to turn the tables on the enemy instead of crying for 5 hours to God about the big problem the devil's been kicking your teeth and start saying, no, 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 devil, I'm going to put you aside because you know at the end of the day, you're not big enough for me to. I've already spoken the word and the word will deal with you. I'm going to spend the rest of my time giving God thanks for who He is. You're my way maker. You're my healer. You're my light in the darkness. Give God thanks. Say, give God thanks. Give God thanks. You say, how long do I need to do that? Spend time giving God thanks until you experience God in the thanksgiving. Yeah. Some people ask, how long do I need to pray? Or how long do I need to be in the Word today? How long do I need to give God thanks before I begin to experience something? And my best answer that's worked for me is, it depends. Because it's not based on person or based on situation. It's based on both. Someone called and said, I'm in a ditch. How many steps is it going to take for me to get out? The answer would be, work with me, church. It depends. How deep's the hole? Right? If it's a 6-inch hole, 1 step. If it's a 60-foot hole, a few more steps. But if you keep walking it out, you're going to come to the top. Say, I'm coming to the top. And when you come to the top, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind and soul through Christ Jesus. Now you're at the top. You've walked out of the pit of that emotional attack, the attack of the enemy. And though maybe some things aren't totally resolved around you, but on the inside of you, there is peace. And when you get to that place of peace and assurance, then you know by faith you are walking this out because God is giving you that confidence. That's why Mark 11:24 says, when you pray, believe that you have received it, and then you will have it. It's that assurance on the inside that I know what God has said is true and it's alive, and I might not see Him working, but I know He's still working. Amen. I might not feel His presence right now, but I know He's still with me, for He'll never leave me and nor forsake me. So we begin to experience the peace, but it doesn't stop there because the enemy is still going to try to steal, kill, and destroy. So what does the Bible tell us to do? Finally, brethren, notice this verse as we continue on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, we could spend a whole series on that, but let me just focus on the one that says, notice that report. Notice that on good report. Say good report. If you will go with me in your imagination, you remember a time in the Bible and history where Israel had been delivered by God out of slavery. 400 years they prayed, God, we need to deliver. God sent Moses. I like the fact that God sent someone that they didn't really for sure want to work this out. Well, that's not the way we planned it, God. God will do stuff in ways that you have not planned. Right. And God begins to walk this out. And through the process of the journey, all of a sudden, they're getting close to what God had called the promised land. Say the promised land. I want you to know that all the New Testament covenant promises of God have conditions, but that's your promised land. And whatever promised land you're walking toward, you need to do it by faith and confidence. And as they were walking toward their promised land, they sent some spies. Do you remember this story? Into the land. And the spies came back, and all of them but two said, there are giants in the land, which means that there is a problem have to be dealt with. There is a challenge that has to be dealt with. Joshua and Caleb said that it is just as God said it. Yes, there are giants, but God will put them in our hands. We can take it. Let's go. But the ones who begin to speak what they saw turn the hearts of the people against Joshua and Caleb and Moses. Now, God didn't like this. God was not happy with this. And God said, okay, if you're going to play it that way, because they begin to say, has Moses and God brought us out here that we're going to die? And look it up. You'll find where God said, I have heard the people complain. Let them know that what they have said about me in complaining, I'm going to make happen for them.
Right.
Careful what you say. And God called what they said an evil report. Have you ever heard this?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Now, I want you to understand the context of an evil report, because the evil report was not an inaccurate report. Because they said what they saw. Was it a great land? Yep, that's what they said. Did it have giants? Yes. And because of that, what they saw, and being dictated by what they were seeing, they saw themselves now as grasshoppers.
Right.
In fact, the Bible says that in their quote, they said, and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, I guarantee you, and I could be wrong, but I guarantee you that they didn't come up and say, excuse me, giant, we're doing an interview, how do we look? And yet, they knew from their perspective that they were insignificant in the minds of the enemy.
Come on.
The tactic of the devil is to get you to believe that you are not enough, insignificant in the mind of the enemy who's trying to hold you out of what rightfully already belongs to you. God called it an evil report. God called it an evil report. Why was it evil? God, why do you call it evil? It wasn't evil. It was accurate. But it's not accurate to the truth. Because at the end of the day, it wasn't, the problem is not with the giants. The problem is not with them. The problem is they never included God in the story. Joshua and Caleb did, because they said, yes, they're giants and they're pretty big, but God has placed them into our hands. We begin to feel insignificant when our focus is on us or the obstacle or opposition at hand. When we begin to give God thanks, we don't look just at the doctor's report. We don't look at the pain in our arm. We begin to say what God says. God, I recognize faith is not denying that your arm hurts. Faith is saying that God is bigger than the problem. Therefore, if God said it, who calls those things which be not as though they were, then you can stand up and say, I don't feel it, but you said, and I'm taking you at your word. The power of the word. The power of the word. Paul said it this way. That word needs to be the focus. In Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My mind, your mind, all of our minds need to be renewed. Renewed. When's the last time you read the Bible? 1972 or 3. I just don't have much time. I don't like to read. It's just not my thing. All wonderful reasons, and yet we get the effect. Don't matter who you are. When you begin to focus on the Word of God, it begins to change, strengthen something on the inside
Amen.
Of you.
Amen.
Thank you for the four of you who believe in the Word of God. The rest of you, too late now. Don't try to. Don't sympathy clap. It's too late now. think on these things. What are we doing? It doesn't mean I don't go to the doctor. It doesn't mean I don't deal with the problem, but I make a priority. I have to begin to spend time. It's time in that word. I got to find out what the word says about me. What does God say? What is he going to do? Who God? And you begin to give God thanks until you get the, and begin to now focus in, zero in. Focus on what God is saying, and look at that word, and keep that word alive before you. Joshua 1, 6 to 10, meditate on the word day and night, and then you shall be successful. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will have good success. Why? Because you are bold and courageous. Why? Because you've gotten the word on the inside of you. Amen. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10, 17. You say that verse a lot. I do. Why? Because it's true. It's a process of God. So when the enemy starts tormenting you in your mind, you can freak out or you say, wait a minute, I don't have to flip out. I can flip on a switch here.
That's right.
And renew my mind of the word. And it's not in 5 minutes, but you stay with it. You stay with it. You have power to direct the ship. You have power. It's like, in closing, it's like getting in a boat or canoe. Have you ever been in a canoe rafting trip? We used to do rafting trips. When, many, many years ago, we stopped because we kept on getting kicked out of different places. So, just can't raft. You got to drown people, throw food at people. I don't know, whatever. But it was always. But one thing I always notice is that when you are halfway, you get on the raft, you tend to get to the side and you begin to row, and you got to row hard. But then I found out, you know, there's an easier way of doing it: getting into the right position, get to the back of the boat, and drop your oar deep. And you can direct the whole ship without all the energy everybody else is doing. Some of us are struggling. And it's not that you're a bad person. And it's not that you don't get some progress. It's just if you get into the better position, you can direct your ship a lot better.
Amen.
Drop the oar deep. And let the word of God guide you. Amen. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you bow your head and close your eyes, I appreciate your time today. No one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus, no one moving around. My question is not for you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. It won't happen. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ based on the truth of his word. In a way that you process experience and you know that you decide in the rhythm of life that you can know without a shadow of doubt, a question, that Jesus Christ is real and that he's your Lord and Savior. Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. See, salvation is more than you signing up to be a better person or a self-help group or support group. Salvation is one of the greatest miracles. You come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You come into the kingdom of God, the family of God. Sins are forgiven. The weight of the burden of the past is gone. And there's life on the inside of you. I'm just telling you straight, my friend. If you're trying to live the Christian life without Jesus on the inside, you will exhaust yourself. Because it's the reality of him that allows us to love people. It's the reality of him that allows us to serve and minister to people. It's the reality of him that enables us to worship him. It's the reality of him that draws life from the word of God. It's about Jesus. All things else put aside. In fact, Romans tells us that with the heart man believes in righteousness, with mouth confession is made unto salvation. A simple prayer can make an eternal difference and change your world in a way that you never thought was possible. Maybe you faced torment, fear, failure, and you think, as people will, because the devil's tactic is to begin to make you think you don't deserve it, you're not worth it. I'm telling you, nobody deserves the goodness of God. It's by grace through faith that we are saved and not of works. He's not looking for you to be perfect. He's just looking for you to open the door. From Revelation 3, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know if he's real. Search your heart right now. Search your life. Is Jesus Christ real to you today? If he's not, this is your moment. This is your hour. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's pray this prayer together. And if you don't know him, let this prayer come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart, the door of my life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I'm not here to embarrass you, but I would like to know who I was praying with. And I know that it'll be more than just one person. But if I prayed that prayer with you and you prayed it and you meant it and you know that God's answered that prayer, Pastor, that prayer was for me. I know it's for other people too, but I know that prayer's for me. At the count of three, I want you to simply lift your hand and look me in the eyes so that I know who I was praying with, and you can put it right back down. One, two, three. Pastor, that was for me. Who was I praying? I see the hand. Second, third, fourth, fifth hand. God bless you. Anybody? Sixth hand. God bless you. Anybody over here? Go in the center. Seventh hand. God bless you. Eight. God bless you. Nine. God bless you. Anybody in the back? 10. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? 11. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody over here? This section. 12, 13. Thank you. Thank you both. God bless you. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. We are so happy for you, and we just want to speak God's best in your life. This is a journey, but it's not a journey that you're running on your own. We do it as a team, as a family. So if you want more information, if you want us to be praying for you, if you want to make sure you have a Bible, we'll put one in your hands. All that's available in the information center, or you get on the app and put your information in. We do things different here at Hope Church. We don't chase people, but we help people. So now we're not going to be hounding you. If people want to go to hell, we love them and let them go to hell, because we're going to do something. We want you. We have a seat for you on the bus. But never think we're going to chase you down. You have freedom of choice. That's God's given you that. So you choose correctly and watch and live all that God has for you. Amen. Amen. Amen.